Whether you're a nutrition enthusiast or simply an individual looking to improve your well-being, check out this comprehensive new course from the American Nutrition Association, Getting Started with Personalized Nutrition. It's a self-paced one-hour course with video, reference sheets, and more, all with the goal of helping you harness the power of personalized nutrition. You'll learn how to optimize your energy levels, support your mental clarity, improve your GI function, enhance your physical performance, and maintain your metabolic health. The course is regularly $49, but as an Intelligent Medicine listener, you can get access to this vital content for just $29. Just go to the ANA.org/Hoffman. That's the ANA.org/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman29 for the exclusive discount. The ANA believes personalized nutrition holds the greatest potential to solve the chronic disease epidemic. Just go to the ANA.org/Hoffman and use coupon code Hoffman29 for the Harness the Power of Personalized Nutrition course. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I'm with Layla Mutin because it's our weekly Q&A with Layla, and we're answering your question. So what's the next question?
This question comes from Laura. She asks, is it possible to be allergic to sugar? I get an extremely sore throat whenever I eat sugar, especially refined white sugar. I took this as a sign that it's definitely not good for me, so I avoid it. If I do happen to eat sugar, I take several chlorophyll pills, and that seems to help. Could this be an acid reflux problem or just an allergy?
Wow. Well, that's fascinating. I don't know if there is such a thing as formally an allergy to sugar, because generally allergies, in the classic definition of allergies, are to proteins.
Yeah.
And sugar.
And it's an immune response.
Sugar is a small molecule.
Yeah.
And it's it's a carbohydrate.
Mm-hmm.
And so generally people are not allergic to carbohydrates. But, you know, there's several mechanisms by which this may happen. Sugar may promote the growth of bacteria.
Yes.
So that, you know, when little kids get constant sore throats, you know, don't have a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
That's not a good idea because it's going to make the bacteria thrive on it. Also, if you have a fungal infection, it's going to make the yeast proliferate.
Mm-hmm.
There is the possibility that it worsens reflux, which can irritate the throat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The chlorophyll is interesting, how it helps her. And it's a harmless product to take.
Right.
And it's nice for detox.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a simple solution. Don't
avoid sugar.
Don't eat the stuff.
It's good. Your body is telling you that it's not.
Yeah.
Doesn't want it. Sugar is immunosuppressive. You know what we see when we look at the neutrophils of patients who have diabetes or high blood sugar. They're very sluggish. They don't move. The neutrophils are like the kind of little Pac-Men.
Yeah.
That devour invaders like bacteria and fungi and viruses. And when they don't...
They go into a sugar coma.
They do.
They
do.
Yeah.
They literally become lethargic.
Mm-hmm.
And their chemotaxis, their ability to hunt down and pursue invaders is inhibited by sugar.
They prefer a nap.
Yeah. This is when diabetics are very prone to infection.
Yes. Yeah. Laura, thank you for that very thoughtful question. Let's see here. This comes from Vina. Could you please comment on the pros and cons of pink salt?
Okay.
Beautiful flavor.
It's pretty.
It's pretty, yeah.
Tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
Cons, it generally sourced from the Himalayas.
Yeah.
I don't know if it really is.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some counterfeit Himalayan salt.
Could be.
just put some pink dye in some salt crystals and sell it as Himalayan.
Yeah.
They make nice lamps. Actually,
they do.
I've never seen it turned on, but there is one of those, like, I think that's Himalayan salt.
Oh, okay.
It's a Himalayan salt lamp with big, you know, ice cube-sized pink crystals. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it turned on, but...
Mm-hmm. It's got minerals in it,
got minerals.
Which is better than just your typical salt.
But It may have, it's not assayed for toxicity, and who knows what else it has in it.
True.
It might have lead, it might have, you know, cadmium.
You want to source it well.
Right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is it has no iodine.
There's no iodine, exactly.
Which is a critical deficiency in some of these salts.
Yeah. Now, we do get small amounts of iodine in other foods, primarily things like seafood, anything coming out of the sea practically, onions, dairy products, things of that nature. We do get
seaweed.
Seaweed, certainly, right? Out of the ocean, right there. So it doesn't have to be iodized salt if you're a good eater that way. But, you know, it's I don't like the other stuff in the salt that, not the pink salt, the regular salt,
like whether it contains salt.
Exactly. It's like, how did you find a way to get dextrose in here as a flow agent? How did you find the other salicylate type of whatever? I personally use kosher salt. If I'm not using pink salt or Celtic sea salt or some kind of gray salt, I like to use a variety of salts.
Why is kosher salt better?
Because it sprinkles better, and all it is salt. It doesn't have any of the other ingredients in there at all.
It doesn't have like
you need twice the amount.
There's like pouring agents.
Exactly. There's no pouring agents. And any chef will tell you, I'm not a chef, but any chef will prefer a kosher salt.
Okay.
Because of the flow and everything and the flavor. It sticks to the food. Mm. It doesn't bounce around all over the place.
He had some really beautiful salts in
Iceland.
Iceland is one of those little
you
know, tourist shop grabs that you can get as Icelandic salts that are very pretty. And many of them are black because there's some volcanic.
Black salt. There's black salt too. Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty. I don't know how healthy it is for you, but, you know, it's probably not toxic.
I remember watching an episode of Anthony Bourdain's show when he was alive, and they did a show where they ate at the French Laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I think, what was his name? Kellerman? Thomas? He's a famous chef. Anyway, it's an experience where you go and you have 18 courses and wine pairings. Mm-hmm. During one of the courses, the waiter came out, the server came out with like 12 varieties of salt.
Right.
And told them how to eat it with what.
Like
I mean,
salt
it was just
tasting.
Yes. Right. Very interesting. So, yeah, there are a lot of different salts. Pink salt is a favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Vina. Thank you for that. Oh, this comes from Olivia. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I'm hoping you can give me some advice on morning sickness. I'm in my first trimester and feeling nauseous in the afternoon to late evening. Mm-hmm. So you're having morning sickness in the afternoon and evening. So also, I haven't been getting much sleep at night. Is there something you guys can recommend?
Right.
Take some ginger tea.
Right.
Take some vitamin B6.
B6 is very effective.
Yeah.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be a high amount.
I would take maybe, 25, 50 milligrams of B6. There are actually some over-the-counter supplements for morning sickness, natural supplements that contain high doses of B6. Mm-hmm. And of course, ginger is helpful. Acupuncture, to a certain acupuncture point near the wrist, is helpful.
Yeah.
And there are actually what are called sea bands, which are sold on cruise ships to fishermen, which are a band which locates the point for you when you press the sea band, and it can relieve the nausea.
Yeah.
The other thing is, for sleep, you don't want to take sleeping pills, obviously.
No.
You don't even want to take high dose melatonin because we don't know what the effects are on a developing fetus.
Yeah.
But inositol is calming and relaxing, and you can take it, and it take it as a powder. You can take like a teaspoon or two in water and dissolve it. And that has a bit of a relaxing effect, and it's very well tolerated.
It comes in capsule form too. I like inositol.
Yeah.
I like inositol a lot. Wonderful, wonderful idea. Or, Olivia, you could also make some fresh ginger tea. Take a knob of ginger the size of your thumb.
Yeah.
You know, take the peel off, chop it fine. Better fresh is it's so much better, the flavor. And you put it in 3 to 4 cups of water and simmer it. Simmer it for about 10 minutes. Sip it all day long.
Yeah.
Sip it all day long. Mm-hmm. Even have it with some seltzer.
And, there's even commercial ginger teas, ginger tea with lemon.
Tea with lemon.
Yeah.
Twinings will make something similar like that.
Yeah.
Or some organic brand.
Because if you're at the office, you
don't necessarily be able to chop your ginger.
No, you'd have to carry it in your thermos. And...
Right.
Okay. Best of luck for a healthy pregnancy.
I remind you that we want to our sponsors an opportunity to share an important message with you. So here goes.
You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They are the key to making intelligent medicine a continuing free resource to you. And you know, you like that. So now back to our questions. Reminder, questions come to questions@drhoffman.net. What's
okay,
next?
Okay. This is from Paul. Hello, Dr. Hoffman. My mom will be 93 in September. She ended up in the hospital a week ago, then rehab in a nursing home for about a month. Came home. She needs to regain her strength. Her mental capacity is fine. Here's the question. She has some trouble swallowing, and she does need something for her bowels. The question I have is, I was looking at Miralax powder or pills or Citracel powder or pills, and both say do not take if you have trouble swallowing. So is there an alternative for her or something to add to her diet to bulk up her stool?
Bulk up her stool? She has diarrhea?
Bulk up. No,
No, because she's constipated.
Okay, so
I would recommend like a magnesium powder. Something like there's it's called reactive magnesium,
mm-hmm.
and it's generally safe. Although I just don't know what her medical condition is. Some people who have poor kidney function, they have to watch out for excess magnesium. But if she, mm-hmm. presuming that she has normal kidney function, she can take magnesium. Magnesium will have a bit of a laxative effect. It'll also be good for the pumping action of her heart. She can drink it down.
Yeah, she can drink it down. You could even put it into a pudding. For her, if she's having trouble swallowing liquids, not everybody has available to them, like dietitians in hospital do, to a product called Thicket. Although you might, if you go to the pharmacy at your local pharmacy and ask the pharmacist about some kind of a thickening agent that might be helpful. You don't want to take regular old cornstarch or do something like that. But
something that I picked that up in Iceland is, and these were presented to us for breakfast, is I know it's available here, and maybe they got the idea from here. I'm not suggesting this is an Icelandic thing, because Iceland doesn't grow a lot of chia seeds, probably. But they gave us like a chia pudding for breakfast in a little parfait glass.
Uh-huh.
And it's easy to make. You can take like oat milk or, you know, cashew milk or macadamia milk or almond milk, and you pour it over a couple of teaspoons 4 ounces of liquid to a couple of tablespoons of the chia, and you let it sit, stir it well, and let it sit. You can flavor it with some fruit.
Yeah.
You can put a sweetener in there like stevia if you want.
Yeah.
And, you know, flavor it with vanilla or flavor it however you want. Or you can use, one thing that I tried, which is kind of nice, makes it kind of a chocolate pudding, is the, Flava Naturals company.
Yes.
Makes an oat milk with chocolate that's just delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pour that over the chia seeds, it'll make you chocolate pudding that's fairly low calorie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a little bit of carbohydrate in it, but that's a good like thing. And I'm thinking that the chia seeds could have a nice bulking effect. And it's very soft. It becomes like something mucilaginous kind of thing.
Yeah. It's almost like a soluble fiber kind of thing, adding bulk. So that could be helpful.
You know, and obviously, the detail is to put in the refrigerator overnight.
Yes.
So
it's like making overnight oats.
It gels.
it gels. It's like making overnight oats mm-hmm. or overnight parfait that way, or how people would do with muesli or something.
Yeah,
like
and I think an elderly person who has swallowing difficulties would find that easy.
Yeah.
And a source of healthy fiber. And by the way, there's protein and omega-3 fatty acids in the chia.
Yes.
So chia is not just like...
It's not just a fiber.
Like refined psyllium, like what do you call it? Stuff that they say.
Metamucil.
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 You know, no nutritional value, just fiber.
Eat rope and yank it on through. Not like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul, thank you for that. Best of health to your mother. This comes from Anne. Oh, this is a little facetious. I've noticed that organic cold whole grain cereal has added sugar, while the same cereal that is not organic has no added sugar. Why do you suppose that is? Well, Anne, that isn't true in all the cases. She brings shredded wheat up as one example. You know the biscuits of shredded wheat?
Mm-hmm.
That isn't anything but shredded wheat.
I used to love that stuff. Drenched with milk.
Oh, yeah.
But...
Yeah, I did too.
I put on a ton of sugar on it.
Oh.
Yeah, that was really good.
I could eat
bowl after bowl of that stuff.
I was a big fan of cornflakes, and I used to sprinkle Nestle's Quick cocoa powder on my cornflakes and then add the milk because I didn't like milk.
While we're indulging
in nostalgia, chocolate milk.
They had a breakfast cereal that I liked as a kid. It's called Jets,
uh-huh.
which was oats that were like shaped like a little Sputnik, space capsule. And, that was really good.
Oh, my gosh.
But it'd be drenched in milk. It had to be drenched in milk.
Oh, my gosh. How fun. Yeah. Cornflakes. My goodness.
I've since renounced that.
Yeah. So, and it's not true. I'm thinking she's being a little facetious here. I mean, there's all kinds of organic cereals with added sugar and others without. It's, typically the hot cereals are the ones without.
The moral of the story is organic does not provide us with nature's seal of approval that it's going to be really healthy and free of any potential downsides.
Mm-hmm.
Is what's labeled organic. It's like, yeah, it's got, natural cane sugar and it's got, so what?
Right. Oh my gosh. Okay. And thank you for that. This is from Deborah. Hi there. I did not get COVID shots. My belief tells me not a vaccine. I want to go back to my roots again, Italy. Besides all my supplements, good diet, exercise, travel restrictions lifted, any recommended thoughts? I'm so sorry for possibly asking a question that you might have to refrain from responding to.
Uh-huh.
So only a few doctor friends of mine are even on my same page. Thanks again, and I apologize for any assumption or inconvenience or stepping out of bounds here. This is in a little broken Italian. I did my best to...
Okay.
Yeah.
So this person seems like an older person.
Yes,
might
probably.
Be at risk. I don't know what her risks are. I don't know. She seems to be adamant about taking the vaccine. Is she looking for an alternative to the vaccine? In terms of something
good diet, exercise, supplements,
diet, exercise,
back to my roots.
Right. So, I mean, when I...
she wants to continue that path.
When I went to Iceland, I just coincidentally at the time I went to Iceland, which doesn't require, it has no vaccine requirement, and we didn't even have to be tested, but I said it would kind of, go on a plane and, going to be traveling there. It would kind of suck if I got COVID. But I don't think I need Paxlovid or Molnupiravir or, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And, wouldn't want to take those anyway, unless I was on my last legs.
Sure.
So I just got a care package from the Vital Nutrients people who they advertise the fish oil on our show, but they now, we're going to start talking about some of their immune support products. And it was something called Viracon, which has a nice combination of antivirals, olive leaf and, astragalus and some other things, and NAC and vitamin C with bioflavonoids.
Nice.
And what else? There was one other thing that, and I just threw that in my bag and I never opened it. Thank goodness. But it was kind of like my emergency kit. The things that have zinc in them, certainly zinc, vitamin D. These would be good things maybe to travel with in case you come down with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Good idea.
Generally, with this relatively milder Omicron most of our patients are doing pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. I don't know that, you know, I got to say, do you know of any of our patients who really come to severe harm from COVID?
No.
Any of our patients?
No.
Any of our, I mean, I've not heard, and nobody's died.
No.
And nobody has even been severely ill.
No.
And that's because they're all tanked up on vitamins.
Yeah.
They're eating generally a pretty good diet.
They're taking good care of themselves.
Yeah. Yep.
They're sleeping well. They're
exercising.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Certainly exercise is a bulwark against, you know, but I mean, we're talking, you know, as you probably know, I wrote a whole, you know, whole discourse on that. And that's available to you at drhoffman.com on, you know, building resilience against COVID, the natural way. And, you know, exercise is a part of that. But lifestyle is an important bulwark. It's not 100% because some people, you know, bad things happen to good people sometimes.
Sure.
And it's not entirely a merit system.
Right.
But, you know, unvaccinated people may be a little more vulnerable, but with Omicron being milder.
It also has to do with the environment that you're living in. I mean, which region of Italy are you in? Is it heavily polluted?
Well, the nice thing about Italy is that it got hit so hard that there's a lot of herd immunity there.
Yeah. There you go.
And
which is key.
It's more that the running the gauntlet of the travel to the nice place in Italy is the issue. But I got to say, you know, I was on a plane and virtually nobody was masked. And I was even, and you'll read about it in our newsletter, I was called upon to attend to a guy who for all the world might have had COVID. Because was like an 85-year-old guy who was looked very sick and was, you know, probably had a respiratory infection and his diabetes was out of control. You can read all about it in our newsletter.
Yeah.
We had no way of testing it. And, you know, there's COVID testing kits. Like, why don't they have one on a plane? No.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Maybe they don't want to know. Maybe. Freak out the other passengers.
True.
There's a reason that they don't have it.
Now, everybody head for the emergency exit at 30,000 feet.
Land the plane. Somebody on the plane tested positive for COVID.
Oh, no.
I mean, whether statistically, you know, so pervasive that you've got 150 people on a plane, probably some people are some infectivity of COVID.
Absolutely. Or something else. Who knows?
Any number of things.
Got to live with it. Finally said, we got to live with it. Wow.
We can't all become germophobes.
No, no. Take care of your terrain. Much more important. Take care of your terrain so you don't get into big trouble.
And that's what my article is basically about.
Yeah.
Article. It's like quite lengthy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's free. Free download at drhoffman.com.
Okay. So that was from Deborah. Got from Sandy. I have a question in regards to pre-skin cancer diagnosis on my forehead. We're all pre-something. I was just going to say. That means a no cancer diagnosis on your forehead.
We're all auditioning for the part, but we won't get it until we get it.
Exactly. The areas in question are on my forehead. They feel chapped. They feel gritty.
Right.
They, you know, I'm 30 years old, and last year I was told by a dermatologist that I had a condition that was described as dandruff, which is seborrheic
dermatitis, which is not cancer related.
Right.
Right.
And I was prescribed a cream to use twice a week. It didn't change anything. So when I went back, I was told they're precancerous cells and I needed 5-FU. This seemed like a big jump from dandruff.
Fluorouracil it's actually used in the treatment of colon cancer.
Oh my.
It's a chemotherapy, but when applied to the skin, it can be helpful for a condition called actinic keratosis.
Which is
AK.
Yeah. AK. Which is really a precursor.
Which is a precursor. It's like crusty lesions on the skin that may be precancerous. And so that can be used.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to get in the way of the dermatologist. They're concerned about precancer, and you may use it. It causes irritation. You have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
And the other solution for prevention of skin cancer to some extent is taking niacinamide at a dose of about 1,000 to 1,500 a day. You need to take 500 milligrams. 3 times a day, 2 or 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get, I mean, this is New England Journal of Medicine article that is very, you know, well-performed double-blind placebo clinical trial that show that doing that reduces the incidence of not melanoma, but the other types of cancer.
Basal and squamous cell cancers,
which are the more common, less deadly, but serious types of skin cancers.
Yeah.
So niacinamide, I would say, for prevention, but not topical, oral.
Oral. So Sandy did the treatment of the 5-FU and Levulon blue light, which, you know, she did the treatment all over her face and she had to stay indoors, stay away from windows. Her face was swollen, was peeling. And I was told this meant the treatment was working. And when I went back for a follow-up, there was a spot that they missed, so they froze it off.
Right.
However, I was told the rest looked great. Well, about 2 months later, Sandy says, I'm basically back to square one. My forehead is back to being chapped and feeling rough. And, you know.
Well, you know, I don't know what's going on with this person. There may be some issues with lack of essential fatty acids. She may need some nutrients like zinc. She has dry skin.
Yeah. Go find another dermatologist, because they want you coming back for this treatment.
Oh, yeah.
And they must like your insurance.
Yes.
I said it.
Yeah.
So
it's almost like overdiagnosis and overtreatment.
Yes. Yes.
For a simple problem.
Right. So Sandy's actually questioning if this is the right diagnosis.
I don't know.
And she understands that you can't say without seeing me.
Yeah.
But what are your insights? Yeah. Sandy, go find another dermatologist, maybe one who's a little more holistic. Maybe you have very dry skin. You need to be checked for deficiencies. Maybe you're deficient in omega-3 fatty acids and even omega-6
GLA,
fatty acids. GLA, you may need that. You may have other deficiencies that are causing this. It could be something you're using on your skin or on your hair, your shampoo, your conditioner, your grooming products that is causing this reaction. Maybe it's something you're eating, you know.
Too much time in front of a screen.
A chemotherapy for something that's not a cancer. That's what this has come to. This makes me mad, Dr. Hoffman.
I agree. I mean, it's
over-treatment.
Yeah, it sounds over the top. It's just an outside observer.
Yeah. Wow.
So anyway, I mean, maybe state of the art, but the state of the art of medicine is biased towards expensive, high-tech treatments that, follow a profit motive in many cases, unfortunately. All right. So this is all the time. We went a little longer today. We apologize for taking more of your time. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks, Layla. And remember, questions come to questions@drhoffman.net. We'll see you next week for our weekly Q&A with Layla.
Thanks, everybody.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.